Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know, believe, and take out into this world the three commands that the Lord Jesus left to his church: to love God, love others, and with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And that is exactly what we do. For as we take to the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, they teach us these three things, for they are the consummation of all the laws and ordinances that the Lord has given us: to love him, love others, and go. So let us go this day into the word of the Lord. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. It's where we're going to begin. We're going to begin in Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in chapter 31. Today's sermon title is entitled, "The Lord Goes Before You." Now, I preached a sermon years ago similar to this, but it is definitely different because I do not repeat sermons. I may use a similar title, but I do not repeat sermons. I never keep a sermon. When I am done preaching a sermon, I throw it away. Many pastors keep their sermons, and when they retire, they just get them out of retirement and preach them over and over and over again. The word is living and active, amen? So why do I need to re-preach something when it is alive and constantly changing us? The word never changes, but it changes us. So may the word change us this day. From Deuteronomy, in the 31st chapter, we're going to be in verses 7 and 8. These two verses are the verses that the Lord has laid upon my heart weeks ago that I would be bringing to you today. So from verse 7, we read the word of the Lord, which speaks to us. "Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, 'In the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.'" Blessed be the word of our Lord. As I look at these words and I try to postulate what was going on in Moses' mind, in Joshua's mind, in the mind of the folks of Israel. They were at this place once before, and they chose not to go in to the land. And because of that, they spent another 40 years just wandering around while that group of people dwindled to nothing. And then the Lord brought the opportunity once more. And he said to them, because the same people were in the land, and if you remember, everybody said there were giants in the land, and we can't go in. But there were two of them that said, "Oh, the God of all ages is going to go in before us, and we will overcome." And nobody listened to those two. Well, one of them was now leading them, and that was Joshua. And the other was Caleb. And he was waiting. And in fact, Caleb said, "Oh, I want the hardest place with the biggest monsters to come after me, because I know the Lord is going to take them out." And I want us to understand that very reality too. We're facing some monsters right now as a congregation. We're facing some giants as a congregation. Is any of this bigger than the God that we serve?
No.
Not at all. And I can guarantee you right now, in the midst of the struggles and the strife of these things that we look at, all of us are dealing with stuff. How many of you right now are not dealing with anything? I didn't think so.
I'm not dealing with it. I'll let the Lord deal with it.
There you go. But you're going through it. Amen? Got to go through it. And that's what Joshua and the people here had to do. They had to get through it. But if God is already there, if God goes before you, and Moses said, "Do not fear, take courage, be strong in the Lord," God already has a plan worked out for you and me. And we need to understand that he's already there waiting for us to get there. And we've got to get there physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's one of the things that I need to talk to you about today. Oftentimes we show up. How much of us is actually there? You may be in the building, But is your mind there? Is your heart there? Is your being there? Okay? And I think it's funny because as a pastor, y'all are looking at me, but I'm looking back at y'all. And I have to laugh because sometimes I wonder, well, are they really here? There's like a glaze over their eyes. You know, it's like, well, this is what we do on Sunday. I could use another 25 minutes of sleep, Pastor. Oh, no, you ain't sleeping while I'm preaching because I'm going to be yelling and you're going to wake up. Because the word of the Lord is a double-edged sword, and the word of the Lord will revive unto the soul of every man. Can I get an amen out of this congregation somewhere? Because I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to see us here. He wants us to be alive, awake, and participating in what's going on. This is not a spectator sport. Can I get an amen from the church? Though you may be looking this way, where are your hearts going? That way. Because we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because we know he has our tomorrow covered. And we also know that he has every day there beyond covered because before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. How did he do that? He's God and he can do anything and everything. And we need to walk in that truth. And Moses needed to walk in that truth. Joshua needed to walk in that truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, we go into something and it's surprising. Well, I didn't expect that. Do you think that ever happens to God? Absolutely not. He's looking at us and saying, yeah, I knew you were going to do that. And he's laughing at us. Now, it's not a mean laugh. He's not doing these things to hurt us. He just deals with it. It's like, I told you that these things were going to come, and you act surprised every time it does. Don't you know I'm already here? Don't you trust me? And the answer to that question is, no, we don't. Because we're fallen, we're broken. And we all know that, don't we? We get scared, don't we? We worry, don't we? That's why we got white hair. You'll get there. I just pointed at one of my 20-something-year-olds. She dyes her hair. What a joke. I'm just picking, sweetie, because I'm going to tell you what, no matter what color you make it, it's still white underneath. Can I get an amen, church? But God says, I want to walk this walk with you. I am not going to let you alone. I am going before you. I am preparing a way. And when you come into that way, you're going to go through some challenges. But take heart, for I have overcome. Have we ever read that in the scriptures anywhere? Yeah, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Nothing defeated Christ. You know, everybody thinks, oh yeah, but he died on the cross. Folks, he went to the cross. Nobody put him on the cross. He went to the cross willingly. He allowed our sin to send him to hell. Now, I need to ask you a question. I'm going to come down here to do it. Did he stay in hell? No. He came up out of it because only he could. He had to go there for you and I. You see, when he said he goes before us, there are places that he's gone for us that we never have to go again. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because that's where we belong. But because he went there before us, we never have to go. He's taken it away, and he has now opened up heaven that we may enter in the moment of our death. In the moment of our death, he says, and I go and I prepare a place for you. And when it's time, I will receive you unto myself. We don't go by the way of the by side. We go the way of the high side. And we are raptured right into heaven in those moments. And that's what we need to understand. When we're going through this stuff that we're all going to go through, we go through it, right, Miss Susan? We all go through it. We all go through the stuff. How many of you got stuff you're dealing with? Every hand ought to be in the air. They're all being, oh, no, not me, Pastor. Every hand is in the air right now. Because the reality is we're all going through stuff. We all know we're going to. It's called life. There's a word in the center of life that we all need to deal with. It's two stupid little letters. If. L-I-F-E. If only. How many of us say that? Well, if only. That little two-letter word inside of life messes with us. Can I get an amen? If only this didn't happen. If only that didn't happen. You wouldn't be the person you are if it didn't happen. And God wants you to be the person that you are and are yet becoming, because he's already gone before us and prepared the way. And he knows how to get through this thing. But we got to trust him. We got to walk with him. And we need to understand that there is nothing he can't control. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 54 is where we're going. Isaiah 54. And you're going to love this word. I know I love this word, because Isaiah 54 is a comfort to me. Isaiah 54 should be a comfort to each and every one of us. And most of us know this. We may not know the numbers and what have you, but we know when we hear it, oh yes, we know that scripture. We know that scripture, because we'll claim that as one of our promises. But we also need to understand that there's a whole context around that promise that we need to deal with. Isaiah 54, 16 and 17. Isaiah 54, 16 and 17. And I love this. I love this because everybody wants to quote verse 17, but nobody likes to quote verse 16. But look what God says to us here. Behold, from the word of the Lord, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that causes you in judgment, that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. We all walk in that no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. But how many of us realize that the weapons that have been formed against us were God's creation in the first place? They're not created to destroy us, but they're created to change us into the beings that we are yet to become. Because God knows that it is through discipline that we are changed. Can I get an amen, church? Why do you think we have such a problem with our young people today? Because we do not discipline them anymore. We let them get away with everything and make excuses for them. And we have a bunch of brats running around. And some of us are 63 years old. I got everybody's looking at me and nodding my head. I hope you're not thinking of me right now. But y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of us are messed up because of choices that we made or things that were perpetrated upon us by others? The one thing you and I, yeah, thank you, Brother Rick. The one thing you and I need to remember, and this is one of the things that the Lord has taught me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So what does that mean? That means I have to choose what I do with what has come against me. I either choose to accept it and become a victim, or I choose to reject it and become the victor. I have the opportunity to take this thing, and believe me, in my lifetime, there have been some things that have come against me that have harmed me in great ways. But I can either look back on them and say, okay, I have become a stronger man because of those things. Or I can say, oh, woe is me. Somebody needs to take pity on me and take care of me for the rest of my life. And God says, no, that's not the way I formed you. That's not what I formed you for. I formed you to be victorious in life. I formed you that all these things that would come against you, you literally have power over. Because that's what God gives us. No weapon formed against us shall prevail. In other words, rather than allowing this thing that has come at you to deteriorate your mind and make you feel like, oh, I'm such a waste of humanity, you need to realize God has allowed this thing to come into your life to show you that that happened years ago and you're still here and you are victorious. It's all about the attitude of your heart and your mind. Are you going to be a victor or are you going to be a victim? You get to choose. And I don't know about you, but I choose to be the victor. These things don't have power over me unless I give them power over me. Can I get an amen, Brother David? Amen. And you know what I'm talking about right now in your life because I see it on your face. You're struggling with it. But I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's all done. He's got to go through it. Brother Mitch, when's your next surgery scheduled?
December the 2nd.
December the 2nd. Y'all are going to be in prayer, amen?
Amen?
Because we know God's going to take care of this. And Miss Sean, that means no more white hair. Stop worrying. Doing good? We're going to keep praying that. Like I said, you've been going through this long enough. You're done. You're out of the ballpark. I see you hiding back here. Y'all know I'm picking on these people because y'all know us coming in here, God has set a struggle before us. And the road marked out ahead is going to be dealt with us by how we deal with this right now as a congregation. These are the things that he's put out here in our front place. But I'm telling y'all right now from this floor, all the struggles that you are going through, no matter what they are, these are simply the signs to show us that God is in control. Amen. Do you hear me? It's not that he doesn't see what you're struggling with. He does. He's given us these things in our leadership, from worship to missions to our elders to our pastors. And if God's going to take care of all the upper things, don't you think he's going to take care of the lower things? Because it is you that are the church. Can I get an amen out of this church? We are simply here to help you become everything you're supposed to be. Amen? Amen? That's our job, to raise you up so that you can see you are the hope of Jesus Christ in this world. You are the future that he wants others to see. You, yeah, you're going to be an elder one day. You're going to be a pastor one day. Oh, baby, I can't wait to see it. And I'm telling you right now, there's more things to come in this congregation as people stand up and as young men see their place because they're watching dad and mom go through it, because they're seeing a church that God is leading into a future that we have no idea what we're going into, but we know who holds it. Can I get an amen, church? And we're going to trust that he is there and he has it all covered. We don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know how. Yes, we do. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has said, I have taken control of it all. Where does he say that? Well, that's the last scripture we're going to look at today. So we're not there just yet. We need to understand that God's got things he wants us to go through. He wants us to realize one of the greatest struggles that we have has nothing to do with anything out there in this world. Do you know where it comes from? Our very own mind. Our very own mind. What? You're blaming this all on me? No, I'm telling you where the evil one attacks. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Every time I try to turn here, I go to Philemon. I have no idea why I do that. Philippians, not Philemon. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be in verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 4. I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's not right. That's because I was in 3. Philippians chapter 4. It says to us here from the word of God, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You and I need to understand that we are literally fighting our very selves. Because when these troubles come, when these struggles come, are we going to humble ourselves, as Paul speaks here? And are we going to see that these troubles that are coming our way are actually obstacles for we ourselves to get over? That we have got to think our way through what is happening around us. Okay? Here he is talking about being in want or need, whether it is being hungry or well-fed. How many of us literally realize that he is talking about that in every situation of our lives? That you and I have to, in our mind, say, I have overcome this which is before me. I may go through some stuff in the meanwhile. I may be rebellious. How many of you have been rebellious in your life? Oh, I'm telling you right now, I ran away from the Lord from the age of 18 to the age of 32. And when he called me back at the age of 32, he reminded me of all the promises that I made to him when I was 18, when I was getting ready to commit suicide, and he saved me from my own self. And I told him, my life is no longer my own, it's yours, because I should be dead. That's the truth. So I gave him my life. I had no idea what that meant as a pastor. I had no idea because I wasn't a pastor back then. I was Richie Dubs, an idiot from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, doing drugs and illicit things that I shouldn't have been doing and not being the right type of human being that anybody should follow. But he saved me from myself and he sent me back out into the world. Guess what he did then? He scared my socks off. He showed me the end times. He showed me the tribulation. He showed me what we were getting ready to go into in this lifetime. And he told me, into this I will send you. And I thought, well, you just saved me from killing myself. I don't even want to go into that. So I ran away from him from the age of 18 to the age of 32. And at the age of 32, he brought me to my knees. My father had died at the age of 30 from cancer. My father-in-law was dying from cancer. And my son was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer. All the men in my life who meant anything to me, and my son who was supposed to be my future, and I'm about to lose it all. And he laid me on my face, and he pushed me down with his hand. Oh, I'll never forget it. And he said, choose you this day who you will serve. And he reminded me of all the things I had spoken to him. And I'm telling you right now, when that all comes rushing in, whew, I couldn't move. He literally had me pressed down on my bed, face down. Couldn't move, could barely breathe. And I said, I choose you, Lord, I choose life. I forsake everything that was, and I choose to walk with you. He said, then give it to me one more time. And I said, my life is yours. Live it through me. Live it through me. And live it for others. And that's why we're here today. Because God has chosen you, each and every one of you. God has chosen you. I want you to say that. God has chosen me. Say that. God has chosen me. He wants you to walk that victorious life. He wants you to see that he has called your name from eternity past. Before anything was created, your name was already in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he knew the struggles you were going to go through. But he has already brought victory into those things. We simply have to go through it because it's how he changes us from what we are as broken human beings into the perfection of his Son, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the perfect image of holiness as man, fully human, yet fully divine. Can I get an amen? Because that's the only way that works. And that divine lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed. We are sealed. And now we have to seal our minds. We have to think the right thoughts, go the right directions, be the people of the book, taking this thing up, reading this thing, believing this thing, living this thing as only he can do it through us. Submitting to him, humbling ourselves, and thereby receiving the promise, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I've heard so many people claim that promise. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then they throw it away in the next breath. Well, I don't know. I can't do it. Oh, my gosh. Who just defeated you? You did. You did. You want to be a victor? Speak victory words into it. Tell the devil to get out of this place. I had to laugh. Jim and I were talking down front this morning. Isn't this cool, Jim? We were talking down front and the wind was blowing the doors open. And Jim says, he said, I didn't know we had an automatic door. He said, of course, that could be those bad spirits trying to come in here. I said, yeah, because they know they ain't welcome. They're walking right back out that door they came in. Because they aren't welcome here. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's cast them out even now. Can I get an amen? Amen? We don't want these bad thoughts. They do not belong to us. They belong to the evil one. For we fight not against flesh and blood, as we've learned over these last couple of weeks, but we fight against the powers of this dark age. And we have victory over it. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Turn to the book of Matthew, please. Turn to the book of Matthew. Because again, I want us to understand, Jesus knows what we're going to go through. Matthew, we're going to be in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 28 through 34. 28 through 34. And most of us know this scripture because it's a scripture that we've preached many times. It's a scripture that we've all been taught as children in Sunday school classes or discipleship, as we like to call them, because that's what it is. It's not Sunday school. It's discipleship. It's learning to be a Christian. Amen, Miss Dottie? And we all need to learn to be a Christian. Oh, but I go to church. I don't care. Are you being discipled? Because you can sit in here and worship God and leave here and know nothing about the Bible. You want to learn about the Bible? Come into discipleship. Learn what the Bible says. Chew it up with other believers. Start to reason these things. Why? Because this is what the Lord says. This is what he says. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothes himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen out of the congregation? Now, I think it's funny because we all read that and we all say, oh, but Pastor Rich, you're taking that out of context. He's talking about food and clothing. Isn't he talking about provision? Let's break it down. Isn't he talking about provision? Who is our provider? Who is our sustainer? Who is our Lord and Savior? There is only one name. What is that name, church?
Jesus.
And we call on that name. And we call on that name. Seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. You and I need to understand the worst place to be is in our mind. When things are coming our way, Miss Sean, she says, oh God, why do I sit up front? Miss Sean, it's really easy to see what's happening with your husband and say, why, isn't it? Don't lie to me. Because we worry. You love him, don't you? You don't want to be without him. Exactly. See, now we're being honest. And it hurts. It's okay. Give God that hurt.
I did before.
He'll take it. Remember what I said? Give him the 10%. Let the hurt be that 10% you give him. Hang on to the other 90%, which is your hope. And what does he say he'll do with that 10%? If we give him 10%, what's he say he'll do? Man, I'm sitting up here. I'm about ready to fidget out of this thing. 30, 60, 100-fold. 30, 60, 100-fold. How much healing do you want to receive? 30, 60, or 100-fold? 30, 60, or 100-fold?
He's going to say there's nothing in there.
That's 100-fold. That's 100-fold.
That's my hope.
That's 100-fold. That's 100-fold. How many of you are claiming that? That's 100-fold. Do we have anything to worry about?
No.
The God in the universe has this stuff taken care of. Now, does that mean we're not going to go over here? Pastor, you're making this thing sound like name it and claim it. No, I'm not. Because you got to walk it in faith, don't you, brother? You got to walk it in faith. And in spite of the evil, you've got to spit in its face and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out. In the name of Jesus Christ, the victory is already mine. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will see the glory of Jesus in my day. And we all know, don't we, Miss Susan? She says, I can't get away from him. I'm in the corner. We all know some of us perish. Amen. We do. Because it is appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. And Jesus said, I go and I prepare a place for you. Because sometimes that's the victory that we get. Because God says, you've done my work here. But now in your departure, the glory of that departure will be those who will be strengthened behind you to carry on that work. Because that's what building the church is all about. Can I get an amen? We don't live forever. Not in this body, praise Jesus. Mine just turned 63 4 minutes ago. Or excuse me, if that clock is right, I am now 63 by 7 minutes. My birthday is 11:03, and it is 11, well, it's 11:11 now. So I'm 63 years and 8 minutes old.
So young.
So young. But I've got years yet ahead of me because I know that as I trust in my Lord, as I walk in my Lord, as I seek his kingdom, as I seek his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto me. How many of you have heard me say, I want to live to 120? Remember, how many times have you heard me say, Moses got 120, Abraham got 120, God, I want 120. Why 120? Because in 120 years, I've got work to do. And I want to be one of those men like Moses, like Abraham, who did that work and were found faithful in the end because they brought souls in. Lives were changed. People came to the Lord. That's what I want. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about the church. It's about God's kingdom. It's about his grace. It's about his glory. I just get to participate. Can I get an amen, church? Because you're the one thinking that of yourself. You may not want 120 years. I don't care. If it's 60 years, if it's 80 years, if it's 100 years, whatever they are, may they be in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And the fullness of the Lord will come in when we seek first his kingdom, understanding that he's already there. He's gone before us. He's got it all worked out. Do we trust him? No matter what the outcome may be. Because as we do, we will see the victory. We will see our lives change and the lives of people around us. Isn't that the victory? We're all going to get out of this thing. We all got a train ticket, okay? And somewhere along the line, we get on that train, and it takes us home. But until that day, we've a work to do. I don't know about you, but I ain't waiting at the train station. The train comes to my door when I'm ready, or rather, when it's time. I don't have to go sit in the station. I've got a life to live, seeking his kingdom, seeking his righteousness, and being found able to do far more abundantly than I could ever do in my life. So then what's my charge? Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. And I'm keeping all of 18 because I want us to remember where this comes from. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Brothers and sisters, there's our mandate. Love God. Love others, and go. God goes before us. He has the way set, and the life that we get to live is a life of change unto the image of his Son who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. But we've got to go through it and adapt our minds, our bodies, and our spirits to the will of the one who is able. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Lord, right now, I know there's even folks out there on internet land that are wondering, how can I attain this which this pastor is speaking of? I want that life. Father, walk with them. And I ask them at this point in time to pray this little prayer with us. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that his death on the cross is my death that he took for me. May I live now according to your will and promise, having repented of my sin, walking away from it, and turning to you that I may be whole and wholly thine. Make me a disciple, Lord. Teach me in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, for each of us who are here, who have been walking with you, strengthen our resolve that we too may walk that walk evermore, knowing that we are becoming the church of Jesus Christ, the image of our living, loving Savior, who is at your right hand, guiding us even now. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.